While we were in this position, we were particularly vulnerable to infiltrators who might slip in along the beach, as well as from the water to our rear. We kept watch in all directions at night. In this place, there were no friendly troops to our rear, just the water's edge about 10 feet away, and then the ocean-covered reef. The water was only about knee-deep for quite a distance out. The Japanese would wade out, slip along the reef, and come in behind us. One night, while I was firing flare shells, James T. Jim Burke, a Marine we called the Fatalist, was manning number one gun. Between firing missions, I could see him sitting on his helmet next to his gun, keeping watch to our left and rear.
"Hey, Sledgehammer, let me see your carbine a minute,"
he whispered nonchalantly in his usual laconic manner. He had a .45 pistol, which was of little use at much distance. I handed him my carbine. I didn't know what he saw, so I followed his gaze as he pointed my carbine toward the sea. In the pale light, a shadowy figure was moving slowly and silently along the reef, parallel to the shoreline in the shallow water. The man couldn't have been more than 30 yards away, or we couldn't have seen him in the dim moonlight. There was no doubt that he was a Japanese, trying to get farther along to where he could slip ashore and creep up on our mortars. No challenge or demand for password was even considered in a situation like that. No Marine would be creeping along the reef at night. The Fatalist rested his elbows on his knees and took careful aim as the figure moved slowly through the glassy, smooth water. 2 quick shots. The figure disappeared. The Fatalist flipped the safety back on, handed me my carbine, and said, "Thanks, Sledgehammer." He appeared as unconcerned as ever. During the morning of 12 October, an NCO brought word that we were to take up our guns. The mortar section was to rejoin Company K. We gathered our gear and mortar. Snafu, George Sarrett, and I got into a jeep parked along a sheltered part of the road. We had to hang on because the driver took off with a lurch in a cloud of dust and drove like hell down the west road, bordered by the sniper-infested ridge. It was my first and only jeep ride during my entire enlistment. It was an eventful day because of that. Shortly, the driver stopped and led us off in a supply area where we waited for an NCO who was to guide us up into the ridges. Directly, the rest of the Company K mortarmen arrived with directions to reach the company. We hoisted our mortar and other weapons and gear and headed across the road. We picked our way around the end of the ridge, then headed up a narrow valley filled with skeletons of shattered trees jutting up here and there on the slopes amid crazy angled coral masses. Johnny Marmot came striding down the incline of the valley to meet us as we started up. Even before I could see his face clearly, I knew from the way he was walking that something was dreadfully amiss. He lurched up to us, nervously clutching the web strap of the submachine gun slung over his shoulder. I had never seen Johnny nervous before, even under the thickest fire, which he seemed to regard as a nuisance that interfered with his carrying out his job. His tired face was contorted with emotion. His brow was knitted tightly, and his bloodshot eyes appeared moist. It was obvious he had something fearful to tell us. We shuffled to a halt.